It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock, Phoenix, Arizona, from the farm. I wanted to go over, and also because we've been so busy, it's an opportunity for me to go over the archived dispatches on Freedom's Phoenix. Just hit some of the highlights of the main news stories that happened last week while we're moving and soldering and sawing and stuff. If you go to the top of Freedom's Phoenix, Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. What you can do is you go to the top navigation bar. It's a horizontal navigation bar that has front page, page two, archives. If you click on archives, or there's a drop down when you hover over archives, and you have the contents listed by subject is the first option, and you can go to any subject, you know, space travel and exploration, energy, economy, U.S., economy, international. We have a couple hundred categories, and you just get a chronology, 5 years of our coverage on, you know, from the beginning of the North American Union or something like that. We'll start covering it, and you just get a chronology. And one of the benefits is that it comes from the perspective of like a homeschooler. They use this a lot. When we have homeschool events and conventions and seminars and gatherings, they'll have tens of thousands of people go through them down at the Phoenix Civic Center over a weekend. I mean, it's amazing how large these are. And we'll encourage the homeschoolers to use Freedom's Phoenix for current events and, you know, and also science and technology and all kinds of stuff. So it's really popular with them. And but one of the other things, the third one down the under archives is newsletter archives. On the front page, you'll have in red up there, it says radio and TV shows, and it has all of our radio and our videos and you know, like Freedom Summit speeches and all this kind of stuff. But we all, right below that, it says RSS feeds. The archive of the newsletter that you get, the email dispatch every day that comes out in the morning and the afternoon of all the headlines, there is also the option to have an RSS feed that goes into some people that have blogs and so on. They'll have a section there that just has the RSS feeds of our daily dispatches. It goes straight onto their page. Now, you can do RSS feeds of all original content and articles, all of the radio and television shows. You can do all kinds of stuff from this. We keep developing the page to allow for these things. So what I've done is I went into the newsletter archives, and I can see the morning and the afternoon edition from last weekend, last week, this past weekend, and I kind of just, you know, Sierra just pulled up, you know, some of the few from each day that she thought was, you know, had her attention the most and some that I liked, and we put this up, and that's what we're going over, trying to update ourselves. At the beginning of last week, we're just going to go through these real quick, kind of give you, just the surface of these. Anti-government protests break out in Croatia. Now, I thought we had a war there, you know, kind of stop breakouts. Croatian police clashed with approximately 15,000 anti-government protesters who rallied in the capital on Saturday, and state television reported that officers used tear gas to disperse the group. At least 25 people were injured. Dozens of mostly young demonstrators charged at a police cordon, preventing them from reaching a central square and Zagreb, where the government headquarters is located, Croatian television reported. This is Croatia. That's not the Middle East. It's food. It's what Dr. Paul was saying, man. People vote with their hungry bellies. This economic, it's affecting everybody worldwide. This is, it's all about being able to keep breathing in and out. I keep saying it. Homeland Security to scan DNA. Yeah, that's William Matthews via PrisonPlanet.com. The Homeland Security Department this summer plans to begin testing a DNA analyzer that's small enough to be easily portable and then fast enough to return results in less than an hour. The analyzer, about the size of a laser pointer, initially will be used to determine kinship among refugees and asylum seekers. It also could help establish whether foreigners giving children up for adoption are their parents or other relatives, and help combat child smuggling, human trafficking, said Christopher Miles, biometrics program manager in the Department of Homeland Security Office of Science and Technology. Are you freaking kidding me? Oh, it's for the children, you know? It says, oh, man. Well, I'll tell you how it's going to be used. It's going to be the DNA everybody they come in contact with. That's what it's going to be for. You know, so anyway, we got that to look forward to. Massachusetts company making diesel with sun, water, and CO2. You're going to see, I remember during the Carter administration when they started having all kinds of tax credits for solar water heaters and all this kind of stuff. Because all the rhetoric that you're hearing now about energy conservation, and, you know, I went through this. We went through the same thing in high school in the late 70s. You know, gasoline was, you know, I think it was like 60, 70 something cents a gallon. I had, you know, a 65 Chevelle Super Sport, man, you know, a 327 in a 4-barrel Rochester Quadrant Jet kind of gas sucking. My gas gauge went down as fast as my speedometer went up. And they were talking, I think it was my junior, it might have been my senior year, one of the teachers, I sat in on a class, some friends of mine, I got out an hour before they did, and she let me sit in her class while I just waited for my two friends who were going to the lake or something. So I sat in there, and I remember this. She said, "You guys have lived in the last generation that's going to have a better lifestyle than your parents. You're going to live it on smaller pieces of property. It's going to be smaller houses. You're going to have more smaller cars. You're going to, you know, work more hours and, you know, have less free time and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And gasoline is going to go to over $1 a gallon." No way. No way. $1 a gallon, man. Are you kidding me? And of course, it happened. And when you got a, you know, a Chevelle, that has an impact. Well, at the time back then, they had a lot of, you know, other alternative energies and stuff were coming up. All they do is they just increase the subsidies for oil. Now, think about it. For us to go get cheap oil in the Middle East, how much does it cost for all these wars? The military, the battleships, aircraft carriers, the submarines. You know, Exxon Valdez, get your own 16-incher. You know, Texaco, get your own submarine. You know, I why am I paying for this commodity, or, you know, America and her interest? I mean, you know, just wow, what the interest should be freedom, and, you know, all that stuff just got to work itself out. Yeah, that's my opinion. Well, now they're getting the same kind of things. Will they increase subsidies for oil? All of a sudden, they'll find oil. Oh, Montana's got plenty of oil, which that's a whole other story, by the way. Alaska, man, there's a bunch of oil. Texas, we're going to get all kinds of more oil. We're going to be more domestic. They're going to keep it on oil, because it still has it through their infrastructure. Well, here we have a Massachusetts company that's making diesel, you know, from algae, it looks like. Here we go. Jolie Unlimited has invented a genetically engineered organism that it says simply secretes diesel fuel or ethanol wherever it finds sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide. The Cambridge, Massachusetts-based company says it can manipulate the organism to produce the renewable fuels on demand at unprecedented rates, and can do it in facilities large and small at costs comparable to the cheapest fossil fuels. Until the government outlaws it. Because, oh, heck no. But, you know, we'll keep track of it. We keep getting innovations on that. But what is that followed up with? You know, here we go. Alaska could be one of the world's top 10 oil producers. A new breakthrough study analyzing the oil reserves contained under Alaska's outer continental shelf reveals that the state could be the 8th largest oil producer in the world. Yeah, do we want to be doing that? It's amazing how much we'll focus on fossil fuels and ignore the other alternatives?
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the farm. That's right. We're working it out here, trying to get ready for what's coming. What do you mean what's coming? It's here, man. You know, I keep saying, you know, it's coming. I don't know what you were waiting for to get an idea that it was knocking on your door. I mean, wow. Well, you know, here's another good story that we had up last week, towards the end of last week. Black Ops, how H.B. Gary wrote backdoors for the government. According to Hoagland, the recipes came with a side dish, a specially crafted piece of malware meant to infect Al-Qaeda computers. Is the U.S. government in the position of deploying the hackers' darkest tools? Rootkits, computer viruses, Trojan horses, and the like? Of course it is. And Hoagland was well-positioned to know just how common the practice had become. Indeed, he and his company helped to develop these electronic weapons. Thanks to a cache of H.B. Gary emails leaked by the hacker collective Anonymous, we have at least a small glimpse through a dirty window into the process by which tax dollars enter the military-industrial complex and emerge as malware. Task B. In 2009, H.B. Gary had partnered with the Advanced Information Systems Group of defense contractor General Dynamics to work on a project euphemistically known as Task B. The team had a simple mission: slip a piece of stealth software onto a target laptop without the owner's knowledge. Starts to remind you of the Iranian nuclear program, doesn't it? They focused on ports, a laptop's interfaces to the world around it, including the familiar USB port, the less common PCM CIA Type 2 card slot, the smaller express card slot, Wi-Fi, and FireWire. No laptop would have all of these, but most recent machines would have at least two. So here we have Anonymous is out there. How they get these emails get leaked to WikiLeaks and such, and they're out there and they're going, you know what? You know where all this malware comes from? Your tax dollars. That's where it comes from. And I'm so shocked. Well, this is under what category is this under? You go to Freedom's Phoenix and go to the category Police State, and it's when on the first page there. You can go read the full story on that, because this is interesting. You know that you're going to be able to. You get it on one laptop and it just infects its world around it. And I think that's what happened to Iran. Now, whether we had something to do with it wouldn't shock me, but it really messed up their stuff. Libyans, no thanks to globalist intervention. Now, this is one part of the story that I've been really interested in, is that there is everybody in Libya, certainly the rebels and so on, a lot of them, I remember how this happened before. During the Waco event where they burned out the Waco people, remember, they didn't have any communication. And the only time that you got anything was from the FBI or the government or what was going on. So what did they do? They made signs on bed sheets and hung them from the window so that the press could see. You know, they go, look, we want this, or we want to talk that, or we're willing to something, or what, because they had to bypass. That was the only way that they could do it. Well, the same kind of thing is happening in Libya. What contact they have to the outside world? Well, you know, eventually, sooner or later, they're going to get some kind of internet access, I would imagine, or something that gets out. But they're making big signs and hanging them up. We don't want the U.S. here. Get the governments out. Leave us alone. That kind of thing. Because I remember when I first started doing radio, my own show back in February of 2003, it was soon after that. It was like that summer or something that Libya was turned off of the internet. The entire country just didn't have internet access to the rest of the world. Flip, switch, done. Years later, we had a not one, but at least two or three fiber optic cables that were cut in the Mediterranean that shut off a lot of the Middle East and India. They had to go to, you know, dial up and so on to conduct business for a while. So this is to think that this structure that they have of communication is always just going to be open. Well, it never happened here in the U.S. Right. Well, you start thinking about alternative ways of communicating. Yeah, we'll get into that someday. We're doing some research on that now because we were talking about this in the mid-90s, you know, packet radio shortwave, you know, ham radios. We're going, look, you could send emails, you know, this way. It just decodes it's digital, you know, you put a decoder in the back of your radio and you print out emails at least, you know, do something. So we'll talk about that. Now, the spokesman, this guy, Hafiz Koga, I hate messing up their names, the spokesman for the newly formed National Libyan Council in the rebel-controlled eastern city of Benghazi said foreign intervention would not be welcome, the Daily Caller reports. The rest of Libya will be liberated by the people, and Gaddafi's security forces will be eliminated by the people of Libya, Koga said during a news conference. It doesn't matter. They don't care what the people, even the rebels say, oh, you need our help. You got to have, and we're going to have to be able to, and we're going to, you know, put in your next ruler. Just get used to it. That's the way it goes. While all this is going on, you know, I have a soft spot and getting off planet and just being away from all this, or certainly just the mindset in your mind that you expand your envelope. Well, scientists are starting to buy rocket rides to suborbital space, you know, Spaceship Two. Two companies promising routine suborbital access have signed the first ever contracts to ferry researchers beyond the Earth's limb and into space, the Earth's limb. I don't know what that means. But Virgin Galactic, a suborbital spaceflight company that's building a spaceport in New Mexico, will fly at least two Southwest Research Institute researchers and their experiments into space at a cost of $200,000 per person. The institution has also reached a deal with X-Core Aerospace for six researchers to have seats on suborbital flights at $100,000 each. No one has ever offered any contracts to fly scientific researchers into suborbital space before, said planetary scientist Alan Stern of SWRI, whatever that is. This breaks the ice, and not in a small way. This is the beginning to what I think is going to be a huge market for routine access to space. Routine access to space. Now, remember there was a popular song, 90 Minutes from New York to Paris. I think it was a Steely Dan song. And 90 Minutes from New York to Paris is possible now. It's a suborbital flight. You go, you rocket up, you glide down, you know, you spend a lot of time in space, you get a free weightless ride, and boom, all of a sudden the planet just gets a lot smaller. What a lot of people don't know is the fuel that's used on these, it has like a, right behind the cabin is a big donut-shaped tank that's pressurized with liquid oxygen. The solid fuel behind it is like a pencil with the lead taken out, and it's just rubber. You know, it's just rubber. And they throttle the oxygen through that little hole and light it at the end, and it burns, and you can adjust your thrust. This is so simple, and it's so cheap. Oh, the future is here.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I don't want to be an American idiot. You know, let's see how much idiocy there is out there. Let's go ahead and go to $1.2 trillion for national security. Really? That's the new budget nobody in power wants you to notice. Now, it's Christopher Hellman, CBS News. What if you went to a restaurant and found it rather pricey? Still, you ordered your meal and when done, picked up the check, only to discover that it was almost twice the menu price. Welcome to the world of the real U.S. national security budget. Normally, in media accounts, you hear about the Pentagon budget and the war-fighting supplementary funds passed by Congress for our conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. That already gets you into a startling price range, close to $700 billion for 2012, but that's barely more than half of it. If Americans were ever presented with the real bill for the total U.S. national security budget, it would actually add up to more than $1.2 trillion a year. Take that in for a moment. It's true. You won't find that figure in your daily newspaper or on your nightly newscast, but it's no misprint. It may even be an underestimate. We are spending way more than they're saying. And, you know, you gotta pay for it somehow, and we know how. Well, here's the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on the role of the U.S. military in Libya. It was reported by CNN. But the League cannot ignore the suffering of civilians. The League, I don't know who the heck that is. The suffering of civilians and would consider the imposition of a no-fly zone in coordination with the African Union. There's an African Union. Oh, man. It's always collectives. If fighting were to continue, said Hissam Youssef, Chief of Staff of the Arab League. Senator John Kerry, Democrat, Massachusetts, called the United States to impose a no-fly zone over Libya. While he noted that the Libyan people weren't asking for foreign troops, he said they do need the tools to prevent the slaughter of innocents on Libyan streets. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, speaking to a House committee, said creating a no-fly zone would have to begin with an attack on Libya. If it's ordered, we can do it. But there's a lot of, frankly, loose talk about some of these military options, and let's just call a spade a spade. A no-fly zone begins with an attack on Libya to destroy the air defenses. That's the way you do a no-fly zone, and then you can fly planes around the country and not worry about our guys being shot down. He told a House Appropriations hearing, but that's the way it starts. If you're going to have a float no-fly zone, I mean, it's incrementalism. You start with one thing and it leads to another. And then, you know, they're going to want to have some kind of airstrip base, or they're going to, you know, we're going to Libya. And they're going to do it with the Africa Union of blah, blah, blah wants us to do it. Yeah, and who populates the seats in this thing? You know, who controls? This is where WikiLeaks came in. This was where the rioting that was going against these dictators that were there. It was clear that their association with the West was to their advantage. And the West, and it had nothing to do with the support of individual rights or the benefits of the people there. And they're just doing it again. All right, well, it gets even worse. All right, here we go. Hillary Clinton. We are losing the info war. We need more money for propaganda. Now, this is Infowars.com. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, excuse me a second. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton made a tacit admission during a U.S. Foreign Policy Priorities Committee meeting yesterday, arguing that the State Department needs more money because the U.S. military-industrial complex is losing the information war to the likes of Russia Today and Al Jazeera due to the U.S. corporate media having completely abandoned real news. We are in an information war, and we are losing that war, warned Clinton. In a bid to rustle up more money to fund propaganda to compete with foreign news media, sending a clear message that stations such as Russia Today, which regularly provides a platform for the likes of Alex Jones, Max Kaiser, Wayne Madsen, Paul Craig Roberts, and Webster Tarpley, are winning the info war against the globalist. An example of how frightened the establishment is of Russia Today occurred when adverts for the network encouraging viewers think about both sides of the story were banned by U.S. airports last year. Clinton noted that the Russians have opened up an English language network. I've seen it in a couple of countries, and it's quite instructive, referring to Russia Today, which is now seen all over the world and is a trailblazer in reporting hardcore subjects that the castrated U.S. media dare not touch, such as 9/11 Truth, the Bilderberger Group meetings, as well as globalist involvement in hijacking the wave of revolutions currently sweeping across the Middle East and North Africa. Let me repeat that. As well as globalist involvement in hijacking the wave of revolutions currently sweeping across the Middle East and North Africa. While the U.S. media remains obsessed with polarizing left, right, talking head nonsense, the likes of Al Jazeera, China's CCTV, and Russia Today are winning and attracting more viewers because they concentrate on reporting real news, according to Clinton. So Clinton wants more money for the Pentagon. They want to be able to do it. Now, Russia Today, you know, there's some news that's going to come out about Russia Today. We have someone that is near and dear to us that may be getting the show. They're working on it now. And I'm going, you know, I looked at the numbers and I'm going, okay, so what are we looking at here? What does that mean? 20 million televisions in the United States via, depending on their cable package or their Cox news cable, whatever the heck it is, 20 million homes can get Russia Today. That doesn't count the internet. I mean, you know, that's, you know, being more. So here we have the, you know, you go on there, you know what I know? I know it may be the Russian taxpayers that are funding it, but it's not me. So you want to, you know, Russia wants to pay for, you know, the libertarians or whatever to go up and say what's what, you know, whatever. You know, I'm just, it's just typical of what's going to happen. You know, one of the first things that we did, we talked about this Egypt thing where we did the philosophy of liberty with Egypt. That wasn't the first time that we did this. We did it in China. We had, but we just did it as a personal thing, and it had a greater impact than we anticipated. They have it in Chinese. And what we did, there was Chinese foreign exchange students that were staying with a friend of my son's. Now, we've known Kyle since he was fifth grade, you know, young. And his family been good friends of ours. And one year, they sponsored a Chinese foreign exchange student. But he came over with about, I don't know, five or six of them that were spread out amongst families in the same neighborhood. And they would get together, and it was amazing to watch them type on the computer because they'd use a regular keyboard, but a combination of keys would create characters that would do. I was just, wow, I was wondering, how are they able to do the internet? Well, they use the keyboard. It just translates it somehow. So I go, wow, man, you guys can do this? I said, I tell you what. So I gave them a file of the philosophy of liberty in English and in Chinese. And I go, you know, take this, when you go back, just load it up and, you know, let people watch it and whatever. And they were like, oh, this is cool. And then, boom. And then they went dark. We couldn't get any emails to from them again. And it took only about 2-3 weeks. And I'm going, wow. You know, this kind of message, that's why I knew it would have such an impact with the youth in Egypt and Cairo. The reports we got back from us doing it in China years ago, I already knew what was going to happen because it already happened. Just like we used the Lovolution logo before in 06. So you know, there's always a progression. We always proof it out first. Well, the Pentagon wants their propaganda wing. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here from Phoenix, Arizona at the Farm, new home of freedomsphoenix.com and Declare Your Independence radio show. Yeah, we're going to be sharing a lot with you as we get all set up. We want to get back on the air. We took a week off, and thanks for your patience, and we're ready to go. We'll get the videos up here starting next week. 97% of all U.S. mortgages are backed by the government. How nice. And Chris, this is from ZeroHedge.com, and Chris Wallen, who has been hailed by Noriel Rubini as one of the leading independent analysts of the U.S. banking system, points out that Fannie and Freddie helped to create the epidemic of mortgage fraud in the first place. And Whalen argues that Fannie and Freddie must be restructured. The invidious cowards who inhabit Washington are unwilling to restructure the largest banks and the government-sponsored entities, GSEs. The reluctance comes partly from what truths restructuring will reveal. As a result, these same large zombie banks and the U.S. economy will continue to shrink under the weight of bad debt, public and private. Remember that the Dodd-Frank legislation was not so much about financial reform as protecting the housing GSEs. Because President Barack Obama and the leaders of both political parties are unwilling to address the housing crisis and the wasting effects on the largest banks, there will be no growth and no net job creation in the U.S. for the next several years. And because the Obama White House is content to ignore the crises facing millions of American homeowners who are deep underwater and will eventually default on their loans, the efforts by the Fed to reinflate the U.S. economy and particularly consumer spending will be futile. As Alan Meltzer noted to Tom Keene on Bloomberg Radio earlier this year, this is not a monetary problem. The policy of the Fed and Treasury with respect to the large banks is state socialism writ large, without even the pretense of a greater public good. The fraud and obfuscation now underway in Washington to protect the too-big-to-fail banks and the GSEs totals into the trillions of dollars and rises to the level of treason. And in the case of the zombie banks, the GSEs and the MIs, the fraud is being actively concealed by Congress, the White House, and agencies of the U.S. government led by the Federal Reserve Board. Is this not tyranny? I have been saying that Obama is now your new landlord. When you got 97% of all U.S. mortgages are backed by the government, what do you think is going to happen? And as everyone, there has to be some type of a mop-up plan for this. As people just stop making their mortgage payments, as people, as you have foreclosures, what we report yesterday, 26% of all homes sold last year were foreclosed homes. This is going to get worse. There's no mechanism or possibility of it getting better. The only thing I can anticipate that they might do is, I don't even know. I mean, they always come up with some creative whatever the heck, but I don't know. I don't know how they're going to unravel this. What should happen is just let the too big to fails fail and just restructure the debt. You know, I mean, restructure the assets, you know, bankruptcy, reallocate, just let it go. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Well, also we had Ron Paul and Hillary Clinton going on about how we support dictators. You know, this one over that one, not that one, this one. You know, and Dr. Paul always makes the logic and reason argument, and it doesn't matter. I think he's pretty much come to that conclusion, and he's said as much. He goes, no, it's just going to all come tumbling down because of economics. That's just the way it is. And then the information about it is getting, there was a picture to a story that we had up here. Let me explain it this way. Middle East conflict and an internet tipping point is the title of the article from technologyreview.com. Now, Technology Review, I think that's from MIT. And what made me think of what happened here during the 2008 Lovelution was there was pictures and video of them doing Ron Paul forums in Texas. You know, Josh Manuel and Natalie, and you know, I've become good friends with, and they had pictures of them sitting around a dining room or a kitchen table with all their laptops around it and all sitting there just going at it, you know. And there's other groups like this around the country doing the same thing, and they're all, you know, and I'm going, you know, they're showing pictures in the Middle East of young people in their teens, early 20s, doing exactly the same thing. The only difference was is that they all had dark hair and some of the women had head coverings. I'm going, you know, I've seen this picture before. It happened during the Lovelution here. Well, to think it would be any different anywhere else with access to internet is just to be naive. First in Tunisia, then in Egypt, now in Libya. Technologically savvy protesters are making extraordinary use of the internet and digital media to support mass movements against autocratic governments. The Twitter hashtag number JAN25 and its corresponding the date in history will mark a change in how those seeking to cling to power will look at networked digital technologies for the coming generation. You dang Skippy, they'll be looking at it. But before we get too excited about the future of global democracy, we should put the recent events in the Middle East and North Africa in their proper context. One context is regional, the other is historical. So it'd be interesting to go read that article. You go to today's archive of today's show, and you'll see the links to all these articles that we're going on about today that I pulled from our archive. But this is something that it's amazing to me how those in power don't understand this. They're not meant to. They're, you know, the congressmen and senators, they have no freaking idea. They it doesn't even, they're just doing what they're told. You know, I've talked to recent, I should go on about some of the legislators I've just talked to here in Arizona over the past week because a bunch of stuff going on here. But it's the same thing that goes on in your area. We'll talk about it as it develops more. But there is so much that is done that they are just told to do. Here, you introduce this, it's for this, oh yeah, cool, whatever, and they put it up. They have no idea the history. They have no idea what it really changed. They have no idea. So I get these calls, hey, Ernie, they're doing this. Remember 10 years ago, you know, I'm going, you know. So they'll have the legislator call me, or sometimes if I know them, I'll call them, and I'll go, do you know what you're doing? I mean, I just, you know, FYI, to save you from embarrassment that this is this and what they did back then, and there, and you're helping with that. Oh, I didn't know that. Thanks for, you know, and done. And I just, you know, how typical. And that's what's happening here. They don't understand that the entire, everything that's going on is in spite of all of the controls and collectives. Well, Gerald Celente is not, you know, bashful to say it. And he's on Russia Today a lot, too. And here he goes on, Gerald Celente, great 21st century war looming. Egypt and Libya just brush fires. The Middle East protests have fueled more than just a change in democracy. It looks like these political outbursts will affect the gas pump as well. There are reports that crude oil could rise up to $200 a barrel. Director of the Trends Research Institute, Gerald Celente, says the role of the Federal Reserve, interest rates, and a potential oil crisis out of the Middle East could be detrimental to the United States economy. You think? So, you know, Gerald Celente, he's been, you know, the streets will run red with blood. So he's not shy about it. Are we getting ready? All right. Well, they're going to, you know, lie us into another war. It's not like they haven't done it before. So what do we get from, you have Russia Today has access to millions of American minds? Russia of all people. I mean, you know, Russia. We're going to, you know, to Pravda. And, you know, during the Iraq war, when it first started, you know, most of the accurate information of troop movements, what was really going on, who did what, we got from Pravda. Heck, they were in Afghanistan before. You go, hey, we know what happens in this valley. Just wait till they get there, you know. The carnage will ensue. Russian military claims Libya airstrikes did not happen. Images from space suggest attack was contrived to create pretext for humanitarian military intervention. The Russian military claims that the supposed airstrikes launched by Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi against protesters last week did not happen, suggesting that the key event seized upon by the global media as a justification for a humanitarian military intervention was a contrived hoax. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of when they, during the first Gulf War, they were saying that there was masses of tanks on the Kuwaiti border and all this kind of stuff and everything, and there was a Florida, or maybe it was the second Gulf War, they all merged. There was a Florida television station that bought satellite imagery from the Russians and showed that it was a lie. We're always being lied to.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.